Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Catherine Kinsler's How You Say It. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book change the way you hear people?
Oh, totally. Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and this book is a game changer. It's not about grammar or vocabulary. It's about the social power of your voice, your accent, even the dialect you grew up with. It really makes you rethink every conversation.
Right. And it starts with babies, which I found wild. Even newborns prefer the sound of their native language. They'll suck harder on a pacifier to hear a story read in a language they heard in the womb. It's like we're born with a social radar.
Exactly.
And that preference isn't just about comfort. Kinsler argues it's a survival instinct. In our evolutionary past, being part of the right group meant safety and resources. So language became a shortcut for friend or foe.
Yeah, it gets more intense. She ran experiments with kids as young as 5. They'd trust a person with their own accent over someone with a foreign accent, even when the foreign speaker was clearly better at the task.
That part blew my mind. A child would rather learn a new game from someone who sounds like them, even if the other person has a better track record. The signal of us overrides logic. And this bias doesn't go away. Adults do the same thing with job candidates and even eyewitness testimony.
We're more likely to believe a news report in a familiar accent, and we vote for candidates who sound like us. It's honestly a little scary how much our voice shapes trust.
And it's not just native versus foreign. The book gets into dialects and registers. The way you pronounce a word or whether you drop an R carries huge social meaning. A southern accent might be heard as friendly, but also less intelligent, depending on the listener.
Right, and a prestige dialect, like a news anchor's standard English, gets automatic authority. But Kinsler makes the point that all dialects are equally complex and valid. The social value we assign them is about power and history, not language quality.
And that has real consequences. The book talks about Match Guy's experiments where the same person reads the same script in different accents. Listeners consistently rated the speaker as less intelligent and less honest when they used a lower prestige accent. The content was identical.
Same words, totally different verdict. That's chilling. And it translates to housing discrimination, hiring bias, even courtroom credibility. Your voice can literally determine your access to justice.
It's a system of linguistic discrimination that keeps inequality alive. But here's the thing, Kinsler doesn't leave us in despair. She talks about code switching, where people shift their speech to fit the context, like using a standard dialect at work, then switching to home dialect with family.
And that's not being fake. It's a sophisticated social skill. It takes real cognitive effort to manage that. The book argues we should recognize that effort and create spaces where people don't have to hide their natural voice to be respected.
And then there's bilingualism. Kinsler busts the myth that it confuses kids. Actually, bilingual children are better at executive function tasks, like focusing attention and switching between tasks. They also have a stronger theory of mind, which means they understand that other people have different perspectives.
That makes sense because they're constantly managing two language systems. It's like a mental workout, and it's not just cognitive. Bilingual kids have a direct link to their family's history and culture. That's a real gift.
She pushes back on the pressure to assimilate. Instead of abandoning heritage languages, we should celebrate them as a strength. It's about connection across generations.
So what's the fix? How do we stop judging people by their voice? Kinsler says the first step is just awareness. We have to notice the hidden judgments we're making. And that's not about guilt. It's about recognizing the bias so we can counter it.
Then she says actively listen. Focus on the content, not the package. And expose yourself to diverse voices. Read books in different dialects. Listen to speakers from different backgrounds. Normalize the idea that there's no one right way to speak.
For parents, she says it's not just about word count. It's the quality of back and forth conversation and the emotional tone. And if you have a heritage language, pass it on. Don't worry about raising a kid who speaks a perfectly neutral accent. Raise a flexible, empathetic communicator.
That's such a better goal. And it ties into the bigger message of the whole book, which is that our voice is the most intimate thing we own. It carries our family history and our community's culture. To judge someone by their voice is to judge them for something they didn't choose.
The takeaway for me is that every voice is a story and a bid for belonging. Next time I hear an accent that's unfamiliar, I'm going to pause and check my assumptions instead of just reacting.
And honestly, if you want to explore these ideas more, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. In the end, how you say it reminds us that listening with empathy is a skill we can all build. And the next time you hear a different voice, let it be an invitation to connect, not a door to close. We'll see you in the next one.